Some people said that the real plot was the banter you made along the way. And this was accurate, especially if peppered with green circles. Hello, and welcome to Book of the Raven. This is a Cypher System Shorts one shot. Don't look at me and say it's episode 3 of this one shot. I am very much aware of that. It's summer vacation. I don't have to do math, even if this is going live in October, which is why it's the Halloween special. Never mind about any of that. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey. What we are playing is Book of the Raven, which is the third adventure in Candlekeep Mysteries. Yes, I know that's D&D. I have adapted it for Cypher System and made a few changes. I am your GM for the evening. My name is Crash. And with me tonight are Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. And we're going to have a good, clean game. There'll be no prox bombs. Never mind about that. Moving forward. That's a reference that not everyone's going to get. That's okay.
I don't get it, but that's okay.
So I didn't expect most of you to. In any case, last time you met the Kindness of the Scarlet Sash.
Right.
Which are a collection of were-ravens, clearly lycanthropes, hence the were in front of raven. They're ravens. They're actually in the study right now because there's some big plush chairs in there and they're nice to sit on. Big comfy chairs.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the Kindness of the Scarlet Sash are an organization that was founded a generation ago by Were-Raven standards with the idea of finding dangerous or powerful or both magical items and getting them out of harm's way by securing them or by putting them into the right hands. As amateur treasure hunters who spent...
Hello?
Hello.
You have been muted?
No, it sounded like everyone stopped talking for like 5 seconds.
This is the second session in a row where it started off with you not being able to hear me after I started talking during the recap. Which I'm only remembering because I re-listened to the recap this morning of the previous session. But in any case, as amateur treasure hunters who have spent 2 sessions trouncing through this old manor house looking for treasure, they've decided, okay, well, if you can prove your worth, we'll give you one treasure as a treat. It'll be a nasty one, but you can probably find a buyer for it. Actually, it's an evil statue. It's fine.
Oh. It's not catnip.
It is not catnip.
Fine.
They don't deal in recreational pharmaceuticals. With that said, you then went spelunking into a well with a 60-foot well shaft and 50 feet of rope. That was fun. Did some digging up of a grave in order to do the opposite of grave robbing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a grave depositing. Delivery. Grave delivery, yes. I had like 3 half-formed puns I could have said, and my brain decided to not decide which of them to use. So I just had the gears spinning in my head all grind to a halt for a moment, and we're going to leave it there. Then you went back inside and went up to the attic, found a room that had some holes in the ceiling, not from an alchemical mishap, but because old house.
Roofs need maintenance.
They do. Now, the were-ravens like it because they can go into that attic room and drop off their robes, because you can't wear a robe and scarlet sash when you're a raven, but you can wear it in human form. So they needed some place to stash them.
You could wear a very small robe and a little sash.
Yes, but then you'd like have to take that off without opposable thumbs.
Yeah, okay.
You turn into a human and you have an odd-shaped hat. Or worse, a very tight scarf.
Else.
Yes. None of them like this idea. There are solved problems for being a were-raven. And... That is not one of the solutions. So they like that room for that, but you found some paintings and stuff in there and a chest full of stuff that Chekhov's key was used. That was the joke that I used for that particular rusty key. It opened the rusty lock. And you carefully took the paintings and one not smashed mirror downstairs. And somebody, not naming names, placed the chest at the top of the stairs and then batted it until it fell down the stairs in a study of the theory of gravity.
Oh, not just so long as it won't break anything.
I mean, most of the stuff in the chest was not designed to be broken. It was stuff like leather armor made for a portly gentleman. Because that's exactly what it was for.
If it won't break, I mean, you know.
Well, if
we don't want.
Looking over real quick. Suit of studded leather armor, sized for a portly adult human. A leather helm. A heavy crossbow, which nobody wanted. The heavy crossbow might be damaged if kicked down the stairs, or it might survive. It's a heavy crossbow, after all. A wooden case with the monogram BB and two hunting traps. The wooden case contains 15 crossbow bolts that Ori took, because Ori has a crossbow. The bolts have crimson fletching.
So long as the crossbow is padded enough, I suppose there's some push. Bum, 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 bum. Bounce, push. Bum, 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 bum. There's one important question that I forgot to ask about it, though. This box.
Stuff in it, you do not fit. You'd have to take the stuff out. If you took the stuff out, you might, in fact, fit.
Porto will consider the logistics of this after all of the stuff is out of danger from the elements.
This is within Porto's sphere of logistics, yes.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the apprentices want the sudden arrival of an orange cat.
Logistics. True.
I don't know. I think that this would be a wonderful thing to unleash upon the huts that we're supposed to be helping right now. did you hear the air quotes around the word helping? I want to make sure that they were emphasized. Yes, I am aware that the hut is directly behind me listening to this conversation right now. I'm okay with that. The hut does not have telekinesis 20. Last session, I lifted a laser turret heavier than the hut. I think I'm fine.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Rand might have dreams of taking the hut and telekinesis othering them over the center of their cactus maze and then letting go.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Rand has a grudge against cacti.
And huts.
Rand stepped in one. And huts.
No, Rand walked into one on two separate occasions because of failed survival rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore did in fact have his rage set him free. This was a thing that happened. But we're not here to talk about Sith apprentices. We're here to talk about a cockatiel with a bat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And their friends.
Bat. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, speaking of birds that seem somewhat trending towards violence, there is a cawing coming down the winding staircase that you've all gone down. By the way, you taking everything downstairs would have taken you to the second floor. I'm just going to move Crazy over to help Jen out. Okay. Everyone else should already have a character on the second floor.
Yep. I do anyway.
Yes. Some of you are overlapping, but you're on the staircase and that's fine.
Okay.
Where were you putting the chest and stuff?
Who are you asking?
Well, everyone who was taking things downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Well, oops, no, don't close it.
C10 and C11 are both bedrooms that don't have a lot of stuff in them right now, but they do seem to be intact.
If they're intact, then probably tucking them in the one that looks like it's least likely to have its windows break
Debate. They're functionally identical. One of them has a fireplace, the other one doesn't, for the most part. But let's just, for the sake of not doing a debate, say C11. So I'm just going to put a chest right there. Yes, I know it's a mimic. It's not actually a mimic, but that was the icon I had readily available.
That'll do. That'll do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a chest.
Probably put it actually closer to the wall over here and further from the windows.
That's fine.
Because if you put things next to windows, they get like sunlight, and that can make them fade.
Well, there was also a cloth cover for the paintings and stuff, but you didn't necessarily have to bring that down. But while you are setting things down, a raven swoops down, calling, your guess is angrily would be the correct terminology, and starts flying around Ori's head.
Ori, what did you do? Oh.
Hmm?
Is it the things, the crossbow bolts?
Okay. This happens sometimes. I swat at it.
Give me a speed roll. Difficulty 3.
Oh.
Congratulations, you have swatted at the raven. It bounces off of a wall and rolls on the floor a little bit and continues to call angrily at you, but does not fly at your head again.
And Porticali, get close enough to the raven to gently pick it up.
Speed roll, difficulty 3.
Okay. But let's see. What am I rolling? What dice am I rolling? I suddenly
If you don't want to worry about the math and have the GM do the math for you, just roll a d20. If you want to have Foundry do the math, we can walk you through that. A 9 is exactly what you needed for difficulty 3. It's whatever the difficulty is, you multiply it by 3, and that's your target number. So,
pick up Raven.
Foos!
Are you one of the were-ravens?
It is squirming in your hands and cawing angrily.
And Porter's trying to pick it up, so, you know, cradling it so it's not actually being held. It's being sort of scooped up in the bowl of the giant kitty cat hands.
If you are scooping it up in a way where it can get free, it immediately gets free.
That is what Porter's doing, and then sort of stand there with hands open and look sad, as only a giant orange cat person can do.
Mm-hmm. It is now perched on Crazy's head.
Okay.
Still calling angrily, occasionally saying foos for no reason other than to reference another campaign altogether.
All right, bird with bird on head. Okay.
Bird hat. Do you mean a hat that is made of bird or a hat for a bird? Yes.
Yes.
Do we need to play 20 questions or do we need to get the raven clothes?
I don't know.
Are you displeased that we are moving the items out of the terrible storage room where they're getting rained on?
The raven will turn and, forgive me, it's been a little while and I am having to look up character names each time. And Perga is underneath Ori on the stairwell. So therefore, I didn't see Perga's name showing up. Perga will have the raven look at them briefly. And then it sort of like points a wing at Ori some more. And then points a wing over at the chest in C11. And I just smacked my lamp really hard when because I'm doing the hand motions of wings pointing at things.
Yes, yes.
The crossbow bolt.
They're mine now. You can't have them.
There is the loudest, longest caw you've heard so far.
That's not a happy bird. Nope.
It jumps off of Crazy's head. And have you ever seen a raven stomp before? It's difficult to do. Ravens aren't really designed for stomping the same way the 5-year-old child is designed to stomp. But it's doing its best, dag nabbit.
Poor little thing.
It stomps its way over. It's more of a hop, but it's hopping determinedly over to this intersection right here. And then it turns and looks back at all of you.
Okay, I'm going to go follow.
Follow.
Uh-huh.
It's going to continue around the corner right here.
Okay.
And go into C12.
Huh. Follow. Okay. Oh, there's the doors.
Yes. C12.
There's the stairs that go up into C12.
Yeah. C12 is right above C8. And C8 is that room on the first floor where you have to go upstairs, but you're still on the ground floor, technically. C12 is the same problem. It's not made abundantly clear how that's supposed to work on this map, but that's what the map makers intended, I guess, because the house was built into a hill. I probably would have just erased the staircases, but whatever. In this case, however, the raven flies over. And I don't think you've really been through C12 and done a lot of exploring here. You went through it. You had to go through here to get to the ghost child's bedroom. But
right.
The description for this room, again, this is the study. Against the west wall stands a handsome roll-top desk, north of which two leather-padded armchairs face a fireplace carved with images of wolves and stags. Draped over each chair is a wolf skin, a narrow spiral staircase choked with cobwebs. Well, not anymore. You cleared those. Winds against the east wall. You cleared the cobwebs, not the staircase. The staircase is there. The stairs are not out.
Okay. Kind of wondering.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we cleared it of all of the monsters that might be there, like, you know, spiders and dust mites.
The raven has flown over to the roll-top desk and is trying with one foot to open it.
Can I go help?
Portal? Yeah, you should help.
I go help.
Okay.
I'm a very big bird, so I can probably just kind of like smack the thing that's trying to be opened without smacking the raven.
Well, it's a roll-top desk, so it's one of those desks where it has a whole bunch of pieces of wood that are kind of like Venetian blinds. And you pull them down in a curve to seal it shut. And ravens are fairly big birds, all things considered, but perhaps don't have the muscle strength to open a roll-top desk, even a very well-made one. And this was a very well-made one. Also, it appears to be locked shut, which would make it more difficult to open.
Does that key work?
No.
The key was for the chest in the attic. It likely would not be a multi-purpose key.
Okay.
Yeah, but we could try.
I don't know if there's a keyhole for it, though.
There is a keyhole, but it appears that it is the wrong size key. This is for a much smaller key. The chest had a padlock on it, and it was very much a, congratulations, you are in a fantasy horror show. This is a giant key that you're using to open the padlock key. This is more of a, this key is for my diary, don't read my entries. Style key.
Yeah.
Where's the key? Ask the raven.
It looks down.
It's the raven.
And then goes back to trying to open it.
Okay, I help.
Go upstairs and put your robe on and then use your words.
It calls angrily at you some more.
Are you not a werecrow?
I'm using scan on the desk.
Scan. Wonderful. So when you scan the desk, it appears to be a pretty much ordinary writing desk, but it is in fact a writing desk. It is not at all like a raven. It's a writing desk, but the raven seems to like this writing desk. Yes. Inside of it, it appears to be some calligrapher supplies and a leather covered journal.
And a small key, the kind you'd use to lock your diary.
It can't be locked from the inside.
That'd be bad. We can't break it, right? We shouldn't break it. If we break it, the other crows will get angry.
Can I get any information about the lock?
It is not nearly as well constructed as the carpentry. The carpenter who made it was not a locksmith. Probably a low strength roll could force it open. And whatever damage you did could probably be bent back into shape.
Use my beak to try to pick the lock.
I would argue that your beak is perhaps too large to fit into a lock as I've described it.
Okay.
However,
Can
I use a couple of hairpins to pick the lock?
Hairpins might work, yes.
Yeah, try that. I'll back up from the desk.
We could argue that someone has hairpins on them, and hey, if it works in Fallout 4.
I pin my hair up so it doesn't get cobwebs in it.
Yes. It's one of those you would surely have items. So yep. We're not going to nitpick it. This would be a speed task, difficulty 2, unless you have any additional assets beyond the lockpick. Well, the hairpins.
And I say perception?
Difficulty 1.
And I'm going to put some effort into it.
Roll to see if you nat 1 it. You do not nat 1 it. You get a 17. There is a satisfying click that is less satisfying if you were the owner of this because it sounds very cheap. Which is fitting considering you're opening it for a bird. But never mind about that. And you are able to slide the writing desk open. The raven immediately goes towards the journal and starts dragging it forward.
I guess we should read.
You can have that. I'll take the arrows. The crossbow bolts.
I think we should read what's in the journal. Maybe they're cursed.
It flips the journal open and starts pecking out a word.
I go look to see what the word is.
Ooh, charades.
It says Haluth. The journal is written in very delicate handwriting. And looking at any passages make it obvious that it is clearly written from the point of view of the Baroness.
Oh, okay.
This particular paragraph is about Haluth, one of the Baron and Baroness's two daughters, not the one that you encountered upstairs. But the raven is pecking at the name Haluth and then looking up at all of you, then pecking at Haluth and then looking up at all of you as if to say, do you understand now?
Are you Haluth?
It fluffs up a little bit.
Oh.
Call once for yes?
It stares at you. And makes a very succinct and matter-of-fact caw.
Ah, that explains why we all think this bird is making sense. We're hallucinating.
Haluth, do you want me
You've to never seen her? This you call once for yes, correct? You get another very succinct caw.
A gentle cat smack on the top of the punster's head. Is deserved.
That one got me.
The GM truly appreciates the pun, and Ellie may add 1 XP to Ori's character sheet. However, Haluth the Raven did not appreciate the pun.
I'm going to put +4 in my stat pools.
Does anyone care to read the passage?
I rolled intellect defense because it's a defense against things that make me think.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm not sure if Porto is smart enough to read the rest of the passage, having exhausted all of their cleverness on realizing that Haluth is the raven. Maybe Perta or the other bird.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll read the Perka. Book.
Oh, okay. It is about Haluth's death, actually. Haluth was the younger daughter of the Baron and Baroness, and she was a tomboy who took after her father way more than her mother. She died on her 9th birthday in a hunting accident. A wolf killed her. And in the passage, the Baroness does not blame her husband, but she doesn't go on to say that he is guilt-free. After all, he did take his 9-year-old daughter on hunting trips.
And normally wolves would probably be running away, but you never know what's going on with starving wolves or rabid ones.
That is not the only passage in this journal. You can read more if you wish. You may ask Haluth questions if you wish. You may decide, well, this is boring, and leave if you wish. You may do something else given you an option for, if you wish.
Haluth, are those your was that your crossbow? 2 for no.
You get a raven equivalent of a harumph. And the raven pecks at a part in the passage where the Baron's name is mentioned.
Oh, we gave him back the locket, so maybe he won't be sad in the well anymore.
You get a blink at that.
Porta wants to pet the raven, but the raven doesn't want to be petted. It is extremely sad.
Is there something that we could do to help you?
It struggles. As a raven, it can mimic some sounds, but it's not actually able to use words. And it can pick out some words in the book, but the book isn't exactly like E.T. using a speak and spell.
Right.
That's a reference.
Yep, that's a reference.
I remember that word.
Maybe she could talk to the raven.
I have coworkers who don't remember that movie.
No, that's awful.
Yeah, Tracy wants to walk up and
see if you can establish a mutual
whistles or something, because cockatiels can do like whistles if they're taught. So she's going to attempt to whistle at this bird, which I'm not going to do because it'll blow your ears out. But
give me an intellect roll.
My word, intellect roll.
Yes, intellect it would roll? Be
intellect.
I'm going to say it's possible because you are bird. And I'm going to say it's difficulty 2, which means you need to roll a 6 or higher.
Okay.
So roll a d20.
Okay. I opened the character sheet, but I'm not saying maybe I am.
You have many d20 icons over where it says intellect near the top-ish on the right. There's a teeny little d20 icon next to the word intellect.
Okay. So I'll click
If you click on that. Where it says base difficulty, change that to 2.
Base difficulty to 2. Okay.
And then look all the way down at the bottom near the middle where it says roll and click on roll.
Got a 20.
With a nat 20.
Chrissy can think for the first time.
Yeah, just.
Well, Chrissy is having a conversation with the bird. This is. The moment where having a bird brain is an asset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm doing like little whistles back and forth trying to get information.
It's whistles and caws, and no one else here is understanding anything that's being said. But there's clearly a lot being communicated, which...
Yes, lots of things.
Yes. In a nutshell, Haluth sees herself as the heir of the Brantifax estate, because only surviving member of the family. We're ignoring here the fact that Haluth was reincarnated as a raven.
Mm-hmm.
And technically,
birds are good.
Dying means you're not the surviving member. Mm-hmm. But we're glassing over that part because neither participant in this conversation is seeing that as a problem.
Right.
And Haluth would very much like it if everyone who was in her mansion, okay, not technically a mansion, but it's a chalet, but to a 9-year-old girl who's been reincarnated as a raven, it feels like a mansion.
Uh-huh.
It's much larger now than when she was a 9-year-old child, because raven.
Right. Raven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd very much like it if all of the squatters left.
Okay. Does she consider me a squatter?
Well, you're the first person she's had a meaningful conversation with since she died. But also, if you intended to spend another night here, yes.
Okay. So I relay all of that to everybody else, because I know they don't speak bird.
Can't she talk to the were-ravens like this?
I don't know. Alas.
The were-ravens just shoo her away.
Oh.
But she wants the were-ravens gone. She wants the adventurers gone. She wants the thing in her grave gone.
Thing in her...
Yeah, some scary lady dug up her body, stole it, and left something in there.
Should go check.
Do you want us? Do you mind if we go dig that up for you? Right. Back to the graveyard.
Okay, let's go.
Let's get the shovel. Back we go. Hey, at least we don't have to pray over this one because she wants the thing gone.
There. Uh-huh. Yeah, and she's right there, so I mean, you know,
and
a good conversation. I know y'all couldn't understand.
The statement given is her body was stolen from there.
Oh.
So you don't need to pray for forgiveness for desecrating her grave because she's not there. Well, technically she is, but only because she's following you by flying over.
Of course.
Yep.
And
I'm going to be, okay, give me a shovel.
Okay. I'm assuming that the raven is, yeah, going to be right there nearby.
Yeah, the raven is perched on the fence.
15 pool is the one who's going to do the digging, I figure.
Sure.
And Porta Cali knows that
they are big on strength and low on brain.
Intellect
pool? That's true. You dig too. You dig. You have digging. You have excavation. Oh, well.
I don't know why it said base difficulty. Beats difficulty 5.
Okay.
And I moved you to the wrong grave. It is this one.
This one. Okay.
Yes.
You can move to Raven too if you want.
Yes, I intend to. Mm-hmm. Anyone who cares to give me an intellect roll difficulty 4, unless you have something that can lower it.
I rolled a 4.
Not quite the same. Ori is focusing on, we just dug up a grave.
Yeah. What skill level should I use?
Porta Cali is thinking, but we just dug up a grave.
That's true.
Time to dig the grave.
Yes, right, Porta Cali buries things, not dig them up. There is a difference. A 17 makes it. A 16 was...
He is our thinker tonight.
Uh-huh. I have the one brain cell that the Scottish will share, yes.
Wait, what are we trying to roll?
It was an intellect roll. And it was to notice something.
Okay.
I could have added perception to that.
Yes, you could have.
Kirk gets the 20.
Okay, so the cat and the bird both notice that Halu...
The penguin.
Sorry, the penguin. The penguin and the bird. I'm sorry. Beth was just saying something and it threw me off.
Sorry.
Okay. No, it's quite all right. Also, I was staring at your character because it's overlapping with the bird character, but never mind. Okay, the penguin and the bird both notice that Haluth, while she has flown over to watch, is conspicuously not next to the grave. Now, the dawn has broken. No one is bothering to fix it, but dawn has broken. It's light enough that you can see what you're doing without lanterns anymore, which is nice. Actually, can I make an adjustment so that you can actually see because it's daytime? Did that do anything?
It opened a little bit more of the amount that's there.
Well, I'm just going to fix this real quick by adding a light source because I can do that. There.
Okay. There we go.
Light source. Yes.
Yeah,
that's relevant for this. That'll last for until Jen has to go. Because prior engagement. But in any case, with that said, Haluth is in a position where can't really get a good view of what you're digging down to. And you know how wrought iron fences will sometimes have parts that stick up? Haluth is kind of sort of hiding behind the part that sticks up past that crossbar. And as you come to this realization, something digs the other way.
Uh-oh.
It is, your first thought is it was a giant clawed hand. This is accurate, sort of. There are bones in this hand. There are ligaments, but the ligaments are made of cord and twine. The claws are the snapped off points of crossbow bolts. And the forearm bones aren't human length. They're more like what you would see on a deer or an elk, a very large ungulate.
Can I smack that hand with the shovel?
Well, you can definitely make the attempt, and then we're going to deal with initiative order.
Okay.
But
kiss loudly and try to smack it.
Okay, so this is going to be a might roll. If I look at your character sheet, you have the ability to use any weapon without penalty. Uh-huh. A shovel, in this case, is definitely a weapon. I would argue that a shovel is a medium weapon. So you hit with this, you're going to do 4 points of damage, not just 2, which is what a light weapon does.
Also, I have fights. I'm a fighter. All my attacks are eased, and I add +1 to damage.
Okay. So this would be difficulty 4. This is difficulty 3 for your might roll because it's eased.
Okay. So difficulty, base difficulty 3. And I just roll that.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Success. So you smack the hand and the forearm snaps over. Like it's at a more than a 90 degree angle. And then it snaps back. The bone is still clearly broken. It has not healed the damage, but the cordage that was being used to manipulate what passes for fingers on this thing pulled to straighten the pieces. It's clearly weaker now than it was before, but it hasn't fallen apart. Another hand like it, but made with slightly different bones, comes through as well. And it rises up, pulling itself up. First, you see the antlers break through the dirt with it pouring off. And what you first think to be a monstrously large head, you realize it's a deer skull, but it's turned. The part that you would say is like the hole for the nose is actually the hole that the spinal cord goes through. The teeth are facing you. You're looking at the roof of the mouth. This was an older skull. Some of the teeth are missing. And it rises up and up and up. There's more than one rib cage attached to this thing. And it's oddly sort of bipedal. If I say something in particular, at least one of you will understand the reference. Twisted ones.
I was just saying twisted ones, twisted ones.
Yes. Yeah. It towers above you. And now we're going to have me select all your characters and say combat.
Okay.
So if you, most of you have been in the tab for chat and conversation in Foundry. Mm-hmm. So that's the two little word bubbles over on the top right.
Yes.
Next out of the cross swords, click on the cross swords and you should have a D20 icon next to your character that you can click on to roll for your initiative.
I got a 12.
Okay, just need Perga and Ori to do the same thing. Yes, The Twisted Ones by T. Kingfisher. Horror genre with a moderate amount of people trying to be sensible. Uh-huh. Moderate amount is correct.
Moderate amount.
Yes. The grandmother perhaps was not the sensible one.
No, she was the horrible one.
But she's all. Also dead. But she's dead when it starts. So it's fine, I guess.
Really?
Anyway.
It's totally fine. Everything's fine. We're all fine here.
How are you? Okay, so Ori with an 18. Now, technically, Cypher System, how it does combat is you're not rolling for an order. You're rolling for are you going before or after the adversary? Because you're trying to beat their target number. With that said, plenty of people just say, well, we're going to do initiative to determine the order because I can't keep track of, did everyone who's going before go already? Did I forget someone? So, Ori got an 18. Ori's going first. This thing made of multiple carcasses and found objects has risen out of not its grave. What would you like to do about this?
Well, first I'm going to roll. And I'll probably spend an effort on it.
What are you rolling to do?
Well, I'm going to describe it after I roll. Because I'm pretty confident this is going to be a might roll. But it's also funnier if I describe it afterwards.
Okay.
Well, you rolled a 19.
19.
Which is a crit success. A minor crit, but still a crit.
So, you know that scene in cartoons where the camera is focused on the villain who's rising up or like assembling itself or whatever, and it's all ominous, and like the camera work is make like great camera work, making the villain look dangerous, and then there's a whang sound, and you see one of the main characters standing there with a look of shock on their face, having just swung a shovel at it.
I mean, you are describing what has literally just happened.
Yes, but I'm trying to set the scene.
Okay. Are you going to go over and try to push it back down into the grave?
No, I am. Ori is startled. There's this thing rising out of the ground. She's swinging a shovel at it.
Okay, for continuity purposes.
This is not pushing it back into the ground. This is baseball bat.
For continuity purposes, I will say that Portakali just used the shovel. You grabbed the shovel out of Portakali's paws.
Oh, no.
And instead of, like, grabbing it, hefting it, swinging it, no, you put your hands on it while Portakali is holding it and swing from that position.
Yeah, that tracks.
Looking at
your... And then Ori will, while still looking at the thing that's rising out of the ground, no look, one hand, hand the shovel back to her...
I love it. Okay, so yes, you can do this. Also, you rolled a 19, so not only can you do this, but you have done this. Now, with a 19,
yeah, I'll take that as my minor effect.
I was about to ask. All right, so you are going to do 4 points of damage. I didn't take off damage from before, so I am taking off that damage now.
Does that include my +1 to damage?
Yes, although it actually only took 4 damage because it counts as having 1 armor.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right, so I just...
Armor is damage resistant.
It's armor.
Yeah. Armor tends to only focus on speed and or might defense, not so much intellect, because unless it's a tinfoil hat, it doesn't really protect your brain. Anyway. So this is going to do 3 points of damage that are additional, because otherwise it'd be doing 4. All right. So that was Ori's turn. Now we're up to Portakali, who actually went before initiative, but then rolled a 16.
Oh, well, take the shovel that has been handed back and attempt to do a nice big overhand, extremely mightful swing to put the blade of the shovel right between... Well, ideally right between that thing's antler, skull antler bits, but, you know, whatever is in reach.
Okay.
I assume that's my...
This is going to be difficulty 3 for you because of previously named abilities. Also, can I just say I'm really liking the icon art that I made for this Twisted One?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you could put that on a t-shirt and somebody would make a band name out of it.
It is... It is made of public domain images, so I actually could.
Mm-hmm. Stickers.
Yeah.
Which the public domain images were just to get the proportions correct. There was a skull anatomy drawing. It took me so long to find the underside of a deer skull.
Yeah.
Everyone takes pictures of deer skulls at a 3/4 turn from above.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Portakali, make your roll. You got to beat a 12 on a d20. Or you could roll exactly a 12 on a d20. Okay. So you are then going to do 4 points of damage. All right. So next up, we have Crazy and the Twisted One sharing the 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fortunately. Crazy has a baseball bat, so...
So Crazy is going to roll to hit it with a bat.
Yes. Let me see where I'm supposed to find the roll.
You can use any weapon without penalty, so you got that going for you.
I do. Uh-huh. I'll roll something and see what happens here. That is not the right...
No, that was a D6. Yeah. A D6 will not hit the target number.
Yeah, so I just saw the same symbol and thought it was the same thing.
So. Yeah, in the chat box, just look for the D20 icon and click on that, then click roll. And we will math it.
Okay, chat box, 20, roll.
A 17 is going to hit.
Yeah, so she's going to put the end of the bat in her mouth and just slam it against this thing anywhere. Hoping to break off pieces.
Fun fact. A 17 gets you +1 damage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So 17 gets you +1 damage. 18 gets you +2. 19 +3 or a minor effect. And a 20 plus four or a major effect. And if you spent any points like an effort or anything, that cost is reduced to zero. So you get all those points back.
Neat.
Yes. But that's besides the point.
I have a 17. Mm-hmm.
Because none of you rolled a nat 20 in combat. So anyway, okay. With that said, Crazy, you smack it with the baseball bat in your beak.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to do this?
I'm going to knock the skull off of it, or I'll try to.
Okay. The skull goes flying over the fence, over Haluth, who looks up and caws at it.
Yeah. Smart bird.
And you hear a thudding sound as it rolls to a stop that just right over there. I mean, you didn't knock it too far away. You can still see it. It's on the lawn over there. The lawn's a little overgrown, but it knocked down a lot of grass. So you can see where like one antler is sort of sticking up. The other one is over there somewhere. It broke off partway through. The rest of this form is still towering over you. And one of the arms goes to take a swing as it rears back the arm. It just keeps going back and the whole body twists and falls back into the grave. Not completely into the grave. It's sort of like half in, half out. It ragdolled.
Don't like it. Don't like that.
All right. I guess that's my turn in combat, yes?
Mm-hmm.
No. That was, okay. And also, combat is over.
Oh, it's done.
Burger can go. Phew.
Because I had...
Porticali is going to smack it with the shovel a few more times, though.
They're fine.
Okay. Just sort of do you just smack the body, or do you go over to the head?
Porticali is smacking what's there to make sure that everything is broken and isn't standing up again. Someone else can deal with the head.
It's okay.
I'll fly over and deal with the head.
Is there anything I can do to like make sure that this won't reanimate or something?
That is an excellent question. You're going to have to give me an intellect roll, difficulty 4, unless you can argue that it should be lowered.
Does having a religion skill help with this?
Difficulty 3.
I will spend a level of effort, and this was originally difficulty 4. So,
that is a 3. So, unfortunately...
Can I...
You may spend an XP to reroll.
Do I reroll it with the same modifiers?
I'm going to say yes. I don't think technically you're supposed to, but I'm also looking at the time, and I know Jen has to leave soon. Okay. With the 16, reanimated is the wrong word to describe this. Yes, it was made of bones, and there looks like some hide in there as well. Uncured hide.
Ew.
Yes, but... It was actually wearing the hide kind of like a poncho or cloak. But it also had a lot of stuff in it that had not been animal before. The cordage appears to be strings from bows or crossbows. The crossbow bolts for the claws I've already described. And there's other bits and bobs and pieces of metal, and that looks like a walking stick as part of the spine sort of tied in there. This is a construct. And while the pieces might be able to be reassembled into a new construct, you do not think that this was technically created with traditional necromancy. Whatever animated this was not good by any stretch. But the person who did this probably would not be having a conversation with Longkep where they talk shop.
That makes sense.
Also, your cat friend is still smacking the bones until they're a fine powder, so that's going to make it much harder.
Crunch, 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 crunch.
Yes.
We'll consider sparing the walking stick, maybe, if it's a good walking stick. Otherwise, well.
Ellie, that was very quick.
I provide a valuable service.
Yes, you do. By the way, I made that icon using SVG files so I can scale that image up way bigger without losing quality.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. I like SVG files. Inkscape is my favorite art program.
Smack and smack and smack.
Smack and smack and smack and smack and smack.
And then you put the shift the shovel so that it's edge on, and you go smack, 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 and dice up the bones. And
that bone moved. That bone moved.
Kill it.
It might have moved because you smacked it with the shovel, but it still moved.
Smack. Orange cat is orange.
Yes.
Yep.
And with the sound of bones being ground into powder, one shovel smack at a time, as the camera slowly rises up and gives you an aerial view of the chalet, with the squatters still hanging out in the ruined tower portion.
Yeah, well.
And Haluth screaming foos at the top of her lungs.
I don't have your body. I can't put it back in.
Haluth is angry at the squatters.
The fluffy cat is like twice as fluffy because every hair on their body is puffed out because that was scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you've turned into a Walthazar Bo Balthazar Fee Fifo Balthazar the Third. The floof wizard. Who is shaped like a Dorito. That's a reference. Anyway, with that said, that is where we're going to end this three-session one-shot.
Yes.
Which is still shorter than the one-shot we did for last Halloween.
Can't remember what
which
that
is
was,
technically but... still going.
Oh. We ended that arc. We ended the arc. That's that.
But we fell in love with the characters, so we're using them for the next arc. Rotini will write again, but not probably soon. Thank you, everyone.
We'll level up, right?
Do we?
Well, here's the thing.
Or are we done?
It's yes and no.
Okay.
We're doing Cypher System shorts, and the way these characters are made, they aren't made for leveling up. There is no tier 2 for Cypher System shorts. However, if you like these characters, we can remake them for standard Cypher System. And start another arc. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We just need to wait for another campaign to end or all agree on a different night. I think one of those is going to happen before the others because of multiple issues with scheduling. Scheduling is the official big bad of any campaign ever.
It is.
But I would love to continue to play with these characters with them remade for standard Cypher System so they can actually gain levels. So with that said,
keep my XP.
You get to keep your XP and your ciphers.
Aww.
Yes. Because it's the same characters. They would just be re-imaged so that they can level up.
Okay.
But with that said, who wants to plug a thing?
I do. I want to start. Because I have a thing to do.
Oh, go, go.
Sorry, well, about a minute. Yes,
you go. Speaking of websites.
Speaking of websites, my website's bookofgen.net. I put a lot of things on it. A lot of them are video games. Haven't caught up to all of that yet. You can see them all for free. Also, I'm the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which I'm going to do an episode of later today, I hope. And right now I got to go run into a vampire game. So
I'll have fun.
See you all next time.
Bye.
All right. Have fun.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of having fun, I hope that people might have fun reading books at ElizabethMcCoy.com and, you know, ask your local library to get the ebooks because they're cheap. So then I get paid. You get to read for free. The library's happy because it's cheap but they're helping people read. And speaking of other things.
You missed an opportunity. You could have said, and speaking of books, EO's mom writes books.
Well, yes, that's me. EO's mom writes books.
Yes, but speaking of other things.
Yes.
We have a website, aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel is where we put all of our podcasts. All of our podcasts for these campaigns that we do. Jen's podcasts are not there. But some of the stuff we do here ends up in Jen's Book of Jen feed. Especially when Jen is the one DMing or GMing. Those have been fun games. Where I like the one where we play totally real human adults.
I remember that one.
Yes, that was nice. And baby tieflings escaping.
Because I can't figure it out.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
Yep. All right.
I have disconnected Jen. I feel wrong for doing that. But also, so AmbrySmith.com/cogwheel to get the podcasts. To follow us on the Fediverse is AmbrySmith.com/@cogwheel. To follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. And if you do that, you can join other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shenshen, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy. And until next time, because we really want there to be a next time, this is Crash saying, "Yeah, well, that only took a few decades, but it looks like someone finally dug up my little friend. I should probably go say hello to them." Good night, everybody.
We can have a shovel talk.
Good night.